Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
If you have your Bibles, not if, you should have your Bibles, amen? This is church. When else are you going to bring your Bibles to, Meyer? Bring your Bibles to church, bring your Sabbath school quarterlies, bring your hymnals. I know there are hymnals in your chairs, but if you have your Bibles, because you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke is the third gospel of the New Testament. Chapter 13 is after chapter 12 in most translations that I'm aware of. Please turn there quickly, and we will be preaching, having the message from chapter 13, the message proper. But before we read scripture, I'm going to ask that you bow your heads just one more time for the Lord's blessing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning, including myself, on behalf of the congregation, we ask that we may hear from the words of Jesus on the throne of heaven into our hearts, we pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, there were present, I'm reading from the New King James Version, there were present at the season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans, because they suffered such things?" I want to really ask that, if you have your Bibles, really grapple with the text here. Have the Bible in front of you, whether it's on your phone or whether it's on the text. Jesus here is talking about a current event. How many of you ever watched the news? And sometimes you get almost ADD from watching the news. There used to be a day and age where, like in the 50s and 60s and 70s, where you just had someone sitting at a desk, and they just read from some, this just in, and they're just reading. But now, you have six screens on one screen. You have the actual person, you have footage, then you have side commentary, then you got stocks, you got other sports stuff, and you just get lost whether you're watching Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, or whatever your news subscription is. You get lost in the news. And after especially 9/11, everything is this just in, yes? This just in, the Wendy's got robbed by a local, but this just in, the Meyer is going, but this just in, and we're addicted to the news. Just imagine if Jesus is preaching, and this just in, verse 1, the Galileans were a subset of people, and they were insurrectionists, they were rebels, they were rebelling, they were the Occupy movement. And apparently the government had come in, and they had killed all the Galileans while they were at church offering up their sacrifices so that their blood was mingled with the blood of the sacrifices. This just in. And Jesus asked this question in verse 2. Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? Question is this, larger picture. People who suffer, is it because they deserve it? People who go through bad things, is it because God on his throne says, you have been bad, I will cause this to happen to you? This just in, the people who died in 9/11, the people who fell in those towers, were they more sinful than all the other people in New York that God allowed this to happen just to them? We live in these times where you have news coming in. We have stuff happening in San Bernardino. Stuff happening in Oregon, in Syria, in France. Did the people who die in France, Paris, were they more sinful than all the other people in France that God allowed this to happen? The people who died in Katrina, were they more sinful because they're in voodoo or what some of these other Baptist preachers say, that God was enacting judgment upon these people at this time? And Jesus says, he answers this question. Verse 3. I tell you, what's his answer? In the King James, nay. New King James, no. Modern version, not at all. Nada, zip. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, Jesus isn't threatening us here. He's giving us how we as modern contemporary Seventh-day Adventists should respond to the news out there. Sometimes when we watch the news, San Bernardino. That's where all the Adventists, that's Laodicea. Oh, God caused this to happen to waken up the Adventists in Loma Linda. That's where all the crystal meth is happening. That's where all the pornography is being produced. God allowed this to happen in San Bernardino for a reason. And Jesus says, no. But your response should be, unless you what? Repent. And repent isn't ripping up your clothes and pouring, you know, ashes on your forehead, unless you are living in Old Testament times. But repent means to stop where you're living at. Pause. Take a look at the circumstances of your life and see if your life now, today, on Sabbath morning, is in line with the will of God. And if it's not, snap out of it, turn around, and get yourself into the middle of God's will. Can someone say amen? That is repentance. Because if you don't, you will die a worthless life, meaning a meaningless life. You have some accident, and no one will ever miss that you were ever gone. And he's saying, when we see all these tragedies happen, we got to reassess our lives and saying, look, if I don't get myself into the middle of God's will, I may end up another statistic on the news. You understand what Jesus is saying? And he says this, verse 4, and he goes into another this just in news. Those 18 people who on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? Verse 5, here Jesus repeats and enlarges, if you will. Verse 5, I tell you no, but unless you what? Repent, you will all likewise perish. Question is this, Midland family, if the Midland church doesn't cease to exist, will this community notice something is missing? If you are gone from your cubicle, if you're gone from your classroom, if you're gone from your hospital position, or if you're gone from your office desk, will your workmates notice something is missing, something is wrong? Will they fill a void in their lives because we're not around? Or will they just continue life as if nothing happened? Jesus busts out into a parable here, a story. Verse 6. Jesus also spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Question, in a vineyard, what do you have in a vineyard? What type of plant do you have in a vineyard? Grapes. So question, second question, why do you plant a fig tree in the middle of grapes? Hello, everyone. This is my cucumber garden. And in the middle, here are some tomatoes. Huh. Why does this man do this? Is this a wise man or a foolish man? That's another parable. Here, Jesus is talking to people who are agriculturally minded. And I think here in Midland, with Dow nearby, we're not agriculturally minded as we used to be in ancient 200 years of America. Today, we're more into internet and phones and paper. But here, this is an ancient agricultural practice that I'm pretty sure you're aware of. There are some crops out there that you do not plant together because they compete for the same nutrients in the soil. I was told that you do not plant corn and millet together because they will both die because they're the same type of plant and they compete for each other. But instead, you plant corn and beans, either next to each other or year after year or something interchanging, because one takes away the nutrients and puts waste into the soil, and the other plant takes those waste as nutrients and puts other things into the soil. So they both work symbiotically. Amen? Can everyone say symbiotically this morning? Yeah, that's the word of the day, symbiotically. And so this man is thinking, I have these grapes. How can I make these grapes more bigger? That's grammatically incorrect, but bigger and juicier and plumpier. And the GMO technology hasn't happened yet. And we can't get into organic and veganic. And I'm already veganic. And he's thinking, what can I do? Ah, I shall plant a fig tree in the midst of it. That way, during harvest time, I will have grapes and figs. How many of you have ever eaten a fig? Please raise your hands. Not a fig Newton, an actual fig. Figs, not a dried fig, but a real, live, juicy, wet, fresh fig. Okay, figs are very difficult to eat because the minute you pluck it off the tree, they're so gentle, they bruise easily, they rot easily. That's why by the time it comes over to America, they're usually dried, or from California, you get the dried Mission black figs. But the real, juicy, Middle Eastern fig, They call it the poor man's fruit in the Middle East. Poor man's. Why? One juicy fig has enough nutrients, the minimal amount of vitamins, for one person for one day. So people there don't experience nutritional deficiency because they'll just go to a wild fig tree and they'll just eat one. Now, you won't get full off of it. You won't get rich off of it, but you won't get nutritional deficiency. This fig tree was one that could be a blessing to the entire community. This fig tree was also had these beautiful leaves, Adam and Eve. Once they sinned, they covered themselves with what kind of leaves? Fig tree. It's big leaves, beautiful leaves. It's beautiful, it's timely, it tells you what time the harvest is going to be and what time the fruit's going to come out, and it's going to be a blessing to us. This is going to be a great idea. So verse 6, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found what? Found nothing. Verse 7, he said to the keeper of his vineyard, the gardener, if you will, look, for 3 years, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. 3 years. If you're in college ministry, this is freshman year, you're looking for fruit, nothing. Sophomore year, looking for fruit, nothing. Junior year, on a free scholarship, and got no fruit. Failing, got a 0.2 GPA. No fruit. And finally, the scholarship agency is saying, you know what, for 3 years, we've been looking for fruit. Let's just cut it down. Verse 7, cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Or in the King James, I love it. Why doth it encumber the ground? Do you know people that encumber you? There are two types of people. Some people say they're sons and black holes. Suns, by physics and fusion, give forth energy and heat and light. And they give it forth almost eternally. Almost. I know they burn out. But they for a huge, just give out. And it's just a mystery how all this energy just keeps on coming out. And some people are suns. The blessings just come out. Light comes out. Heat. And they're just warm. And they're just blessing every person, every solar system around them. And then there's black holes. These are collapsed suns. That even light cannot escape. This black hole. The gravitational forces are so large that a light particle gets, and these people are sucking the energy out of you. And do you know people like this that you age faster in their presence? They come to church, they come to work, they go to school, and they're encumbering the ground. The solar system not only revolves around them, but they suck in the solar systems because of their selfishness. And the reality is, we're all born black holes. Amen? And here Jesus continues the story. Why doth it use up the ground? Verse 8, but the gardener answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, which we get into our sermon title, this year also. Brothers and sisters, it's already December. It just felt like January yesterday, amen? It just felt like when I still have checks, the old-fashioned checks. You know when you write the date in January, and you're used to writing 14, but you got to switch over to 15. So a lot of the checks in January, it's got a 4, but with a 5 written over the 4. And now we got used to the 15, now we got to switch over to 6, which makes it a little bit easier because the 5 can just connect and mix it into a 6. Yes? 2016 is here. 1 year has already passed by. And this year, on the Sabbath morning, I'm asking all of us, including myself, to reflect on how was your 2015? Were you a bountiful fig tree this year? The Lord planted this church in the midst of a vineyard, but He also planted all of us. Your mortgages, your rent, your senior citizen centers, the job that the Lord blessed you with. These were not random convergences that happened on earth. The Lord planted us amongst the vineyards of this environment. And how did we perform? Was there fruit in your life? Did you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? All against such, there's no law. Galatians 5, 22, 23. Did you produce the fruit of the Spirit? Was your character Christ-like? That the people around you said, wow, that guy is really fruity. You know, that person is really, really spiritual, God-like. Man, this person is just so attractive, not only in a physical way, but in a character way. But John 15 also says, fruit is not only character, but it's also other souls. Have you won a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm not saying you call up your pastor and Pastor Corey is really busy. Pastor, you got to baptize this guy. You got to invite him. Have you been taking personal investment in the salvation of someone else? That is why the Lord blessed us with good jobs and mortgages, not for the income, but for personal contact with other people who don't know the name Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus says, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, I come a-looking for fruit. These years, I don't think are literal. Maybe it's 13 years, maybe it's 30 years, maybe it's 300 years. He's looking for fruit. And he says, there are limits to justice, where he says, cut it down because it uses up all the blessings. Sometimes we come to church and like, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Lord, give me, give, 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 give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And the Lord says, be a blessing. No, I'm too busy to be a blessing to others. How dare you impose upon my life to be a blessing for someone else? I'm busy. I have a microwave to buy or whatever, whatever, whatever. So he says, cut it down. But praise the Lord. And in verse 8, the Lord Jesus says, but. Amen? The Lord, but. The word but is an interjection that interrupts the flow of the narrative to show a twist. And here a gardener, quote, intercedes on behalf of the fig tree. Can someone say amen? A gardener who knows exactly the conditions of the soil, who knows the fig tree, who may even planted the fig tree, who has been caring for the fig tree, who loves the fig tree. And verse 8, this gardener says, sir, let it alone this year also. If Thomas Edison can give mercy as a secular person to a young child, how much more shall our Father who is in heaven give mercy to his children that love him? And here he says this, sir, let it alone this year also. Maybe 2016 is going to be a special year for us. I'm not date setting. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, you know, Jesus is coming 2016, but we do live in some unprecedented times, yes? I mean, the Pope just came a couple months ago. If that happened 10 years ago, we've been freaking out. But we've been so acclimated to the times. Oh, yeah, hey, Pope, he's a good guy. Yeah, sure, he can talk to government. Yeah, I'm Facebook friends with him. He's a good guy. Maybe 2016 will be a different year for us. And how will it be different? Jesus says here, verse 8, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and what? Fertilize it. Jesus here doesn't say that I'll bless it, that I'll prune it, that I'll give it more love. Here Jesus says two verbs. I'll dig about it and I'll fertilize it. Digging, we live in Mason, Michigan, which has a lot of clay there. We started getting to gardening, and I am of a generation. We're so technologically advanced that we've seen dirt for the first time we go outside. Wow, dirt! Oh, this is amazing. Got our hands dirty, and we tried gardening some things and planting some things. Our stuff all died, and we're like, why is it dying? And the clay is very clayish. And so you need to break up the clay to get the nutrients and the water into deep into the ground. So you know those infomercial things? It's called the claw. It looks like a claw, and you got to stab the ground and twist it, stab and twist, and it makes this hard, padded down clay, this stony, rocky surface, these stony hearts that don't allow the message of God to seep deep inside, that God experiences that stab us, that and make these hearts of stone nice and crumbly and brittle and broken, so that when rain comes down, it goes deep down into our hearts. And he doesn't just break us up, but he fertilizes us. Fertilizer. In the King James, I love better because he says, I will dung it. What is dung? You see, you know, we live in America. Fertilizer is something that you get at Menards, at Lowe's, Home Depot. It's all decomposed, packaged. It's all made in China. It all looks nice. And you can get it from eBay or from Amazon. It doesn't smell. And you just sprinkle it on top of your garden, and your garden looks plenty well. But fertilizer back then was not bought at Home Depot. You understand? Fertilizer, the root word of fertilizer, the ancient word of fertilizer is dung. And dung comes from animals, yes? Stuff goes into the animal, and stuff exits the animal. Now, you don't understand that back in those days, the animals used to walk around. You have camels and horses and goats and sheep, and they'd be walking and leading behind all sorts of stuff. And that stuff was used to be fertilizer to these plants. Yeah, we have the same fertilizer today. I just listened to a presentation where the most common fertilizer in North America is chicken dung. And chickens have been fed all sorts of pharmaceuticals. That fertilizers today have been known to found Prozac, ibuprofen, all sorts of drugs in there, including caffeine. Now, why is caffeine being fed to the chickens? The chickens need to be fat, and if they sleep, they don't eat. But if they're awake, they keep eating, so they give them caffeine. And the chickens eat. And because they're so full, and they're so wired, and they're so depressed living in these small little cages, they give them Prozac. And now they're happy and fat and totally drugged out. And then they give forth fertilizer. This fertilizer is used for our plants. And guess what happens? These pharmaceuticals are taken up into our plant system. Our agricultural system is just twisted today in North America. Here Jesus says, I will dung about my fig tree. I used to, 12 years ago. I don't know how old I was. I went to a faraway land. The middle of nowhere. People who live in the middle of nowhere are very resourceful. Yes? We went up the mountain, we went into the woods, and we went to grandma's house after that, and there's just all this middle of nowhere, no telephone, nowhere, nothing to be found. No even dirt road. It was just grass and weeds and there was a little hut. And I was living here in this hut for 1 month. And the host of this hut said, "This is my humble hut. This is our living room. This is the kitchen. This is our sleeping quarters." It was just a one-room studio. The view was amazing, but it was just primitive conditions. No running water. We had to go down to the river, pick up. And I asked the question, "Where is your bathroom?" "Over there." "Where?" And I was thinking, maybe it's just wilderness. Maybe it's just nature. No. As I looked over there, there was a platform in the middle of the woods. It was a wooden platform with a little tray on the bottom. There are four wooden stakes and a pink curtain around it. Now, where they got this pink curtain in the middle of nowhere, I have no idea. eBay. Anyway, so they had this bathroom there, and I had to go to the bathroom. Forgive me for using this anecdote on a Sabbath morning, but I think it illustrates the point. That I went to this bathroom, and there was this hole as I move this curtain, there's a hole down there, and there are two wooden planks over the hole. And I had to balance my 2 feet on these two wooden planks, and one miscalculation of my feet would result in my death. And as I looked into this hole, there were gases not found on the periodic table yet coming from this hole. There were demons and monsters that lived inside this hole. I mean, this was the entry level to some underworld that I didn't want to experience. And here you had to balance, you know, your toilet paper and the belt, and you know, you do gymnastics, and then I left. That month, I refused to eat solids. And I lost so much weight that my host lady, we walked all the way, an hour to the village to make an international phone call to my mom. And she's saying, why are you eating? I don't want to eat ever for the rest of my life. I'll take everything by liquid format. I don't want to eat. It was a horrible experience. One day, I was looking out, I was just playing in the wilderness, and a village lady came up. She was an official, she was part from the agricultural department, and she comes up, and she heads towards that outhouse contraption. And she takes out these gloves, not gloves that come out to your wrists or your elbows, but up to her shoulders. And it was the color pink. And she went over there, and she pulls out this tray, and I'm thinking, nasty. And she pours all the contents out. She puts the tray back in. She takes out of her backpack some powders, some liquids, and some other dirt. And she takes some soil, puts it in there. And like a Shakespearean play, I mean, she's just mixing this thing up, mixing and mixing. And I'm thinking, what in the world is she doing? People who live in the middle of nowhere are very resourceful. To go to the local Home Depot would take an international flight, yes? So they make their own fertilizer. And then she poured it all over the squash patty. The squash patty had been malnourished, it was turning yellow, the leaves were dying. They tried irrigation, they tried all these things, and it was experiencing malnutrition. What can we do? And so they take this, they pour it all over the squash patty. Two weeks later, for dinner. And I refuse to eat squash sometimes, even to this day, when I see a potluck, I have flashbacks. The pink gloves. It smells horrible. It looks horrible. It is a nasty excrement experience of another entity. But sometimes, that experience is exactly what we need for us to produce fruit. In the hands of an experienced gardener who loves us, who died for us, and still intercedes on our behalf today, he gives us these experiences not to punish us, not to enact tit for tat experience, but to help us give forth fruit. 2016 is going to be a special year, yes? If you submit your lives into the hands of this garden. Jesus answers the rest of this sermon by saying, verse 9, if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can what? Cut it down. And so there is a time period of which during our trials and tribulations, that we are to produce fruit. And there is no end to this story. Meaning, the ending is up to us. I believe in North America we are under crisis. That we need to start taking the gospel message and the three angels message very serious. I went to the general conference session this summer and I have an awesome privilege to do evangelism in India and in Africa and different parts of the world. In 1960, what year did I say? 1960. Many of you were around then. There's two groups in the world church. They're called the Global North and the Global South. The Global North is what they call, it has nothing to do with North and South. They just call it this. Global North is America, Canada, Europe, Australia, what we would call the first world. Amen? Global South is everyone else, Asia, Africa, South America. In 1960, this group was about 60% of the world church. Down here was about 40%. Today in 2015, this percentage, guess what? How much has grown? Today it is 93% of the world church. And up here, it's only 7. And when I go to Europe, and this is supposed to be 7% of the world, of the global north, when I go to Europe, the majority of Europe, of England, are expatriates from Zimbabwe, from Zambia, from Nigeria. They call it the native work. There are no white British, white Irish, or white Scottish Adventists anymore. You go to France, there are no longer Caucasian native French. They're all from Haiti or the former French colonies. You go to Scandinavia, majority of them are Filipino. You go to Iceland, there the church is dying. Australia, in North America, white churches, dying. Black churches, guess what? Dying. The only churches that are growing are Hispanic churches and other immigrant churches. In Michigan, we are under crisis. Then in the next 10, 20 years, there are many churches that are holding on by a string, by one or two elders that are 400 years old. And once they pass on, and I say that with all due respect because of the level of experience that they have, I mean, some of them are 95 years old and they're preaching their hearts out. We need to learn. Say, Lord, these trials and tribulations, I don't know anything about the Midland Church. Pastor Corey did not give me any briefing of what to preach about before. I don't know any of the finances. I didn't know any of the medical problems. I don't know any of the social problems. But the Lord gives us dung and digging about experiences. So at the end, we produce fruit. Fruit of character, but also fruit of souls. We can no longer afford just to sit in our vineyard and receive blessings from God and to suck all the nutrients of those around us and wait for the coming of Jesus. We need to get on board with the worldwide movement of the church until Jesus comes. How many of you today want to say, Lord, San Bernardino, that can easily happen here in Midland, yes? Lord forbid, but could it happen here? Syria, ISIS, France, earthquakes. Can that all happen here in Michigan? Yes. We thank the Lord that it's not. Amen. But as we see these things in the news, let's say, Lord, I want to turn my life around, and I can't do this by my own strength. I can't be Christ-like by myself. I can't bring someone to church, but I mean, they're going to walk right out when they're bringing them in the parking lot. I may chain them, but that's going to be sadistic. I need your power. I need your blessing, not just for my mortgages, not for my wealth, not for my health, but let me be a blessing for other people in 26. How many of it is that your prayer? You're like, Lord, help me. And you do realize what you're saying. You raising your hand, you're asking for dung. Amen? Amen? It's not a confident amen. Amen? You're just scared now. That's why you said amen. Stand with me, and let me have a word of prayer with you. We'll have a sing a song afterwards. But stand with me and say, Lord, this is a special year, 25th. Thank you for it. But I'm going to look forward to 2016. I don't know how the order of service is done, but I want to have the benediction now, and we'll have a prayer afterwards, or sing a hymn afterwards. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, this morning, we ask for mercy in our lives. For those of us who are going through lots of trials and tribulations, Father, in the midst of the trial, help us to shine. Like these young children sang, help us to shine like Jesus. Not just in sparkly wealth and health, but in the fruit, the character of Jesus Christ. Help us to be kind like Him. Gentle like Him, good like Him, proactive, like passionate and zealous like Him. Help us to think of others even unto death like Him. And Father, if we are too wrapped up in our selfishness, we ask for a digging and a dunging about experience. Lord, we ask for forgiveness for in the last 3 years or 13 or 30 or 300 years if we have just encumbered your blessings. But Lord, now use our jobs, use our statuses as moms, as dads, as grandparents. Use us as doctors, as wealthy businessmen, or as those who are on limited incomes, or those in hospitals. Lord, whatever state we are in, May we be a blessing to all those around us, that even our pets will know that we are like Jesus. This is my prayer for myself, Lord. This is my prayer for each person who can hear my voice in this Midland congregation. Bless us this Christmas season, we pray. In Jesus' name, and let everyone say,
amen. You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.